people who flipped on their radios early last Thursday were stunned to hear that their country had been invaded by neighboring Iraq. Carol Murphy of the Washington Post was in Kuwait City at the time.
We could hear long-range artillery, and then there was sporadic street fighting, machine gun fire and artillery shells, mainly at the Palace of the Emir, which is just across the street from the hotel and the American Embassy.
This is Mark Brender at the Pentagon. Officials here say it was a three-pronged attack in the early morning hours. Iraqi tank and infantry forces crossed the Kuwaiti border and headed south along two main roads some 60 miles into the capital of Kuwait. The third assault was by air, helicopters and transport planes into the heart of the city. Sources say it wasn't a difficult operation for the battle-trained Iraqis, and the invading troops met only small pockets of isolated resistance.
The Iraqi ambassador to the UN had a ready answer when asked why his country attacked its neighbor.
The Free Provisional Government of Kuwait has requested our government to assist it to establish security and order so that the Kuwaitis do not suffer. My government has decided to provide such assistance and on that basis alone.
Although ABC's John Cooley, who's in Amman, Jordan, says another explanation might be more plausible, inasmuch as Saddam Hussein has been accusing Kuwait of stealing Iraqi oil and violating production limits set by OPEC.
President Saddam Hussein of Iraq had a very personal quarrel with the Kuwaiti ruling family. He feels that they have behaved with ingratitude toward Iraq, which Saddam believes and says was defending the whole Arab world against Iran, especially Kuwait. Of course, this ignores the fact that Kuwait gave him billions of dollars. At the same time, he wants more strategic coastline. Iraq has a very short coastline. Now it has Kuwait's as well.
Kuwait's emir and his family were driven into exile. And in Washington, Kuwait's ambassador pleaded for help.
We have appealed to all our friends around the world, including the United States, to come to our aid and assistance.
President Bush called Iraq's invasion intolerable.
The United States strongly condemns the Iraqi military invasion of Kuwait. And we call for the immediate and unconditional withdrawal of all the Iraqi forces. There is no place for this sort of naked aggression in today's world.
And Mr. Bush called on other countries to join the U.S. in some kind of united action against Iraq, saying,
I've signed an executive order early this morning freezing Iraqi assets in this country and prohibiting transactions with Iraq. I've also signed an executive order freezing Kuwaiti assets. Now, that's to ensure that those assets are not interfered with by the illegitimate authority that is now occupying Kuwait.
Other countries joined in the condemnation, and ABC's Jim Laurie reported from Moscow on the action taken by Iraq's old ally, the Kremlin.
The Soviet Union, in a foreign ministry statement, said it would suspend all arms and military supplies immediately. Iraq, for years, has been receiving military hardware from the Soviet Union, but a Soviet statement denouncing Iraq's invasion of Kuwait said Iraqi actions run contrary to the interests of all Middle Eastern states, and it called upon Baghdad to restore Kuwait's sovereignty.
Although the Arab League condemned the attack, ABC's Jim Hickey in Cairo says,
Egyptian President Mubarak is not only insulted, he's been humiliated and embarrassed by President Hussein of Iraq. Mubarak has been trying to mediate the dispute between Iraq and Kuwait in the past several weeks. And just last week, in fact, President Hussein promised Mubarak that there would be no use of force against Kuwait. That obviously was a lie, and now a slap in the face to Egypt as well.
Israel was not surprised by Saddam Hussein's actions, as Deputy Foreign Minister Benjamin Netanyahu put it.
Israel has been saying for quite some time that this dictator is not merely a danger to Israel with his threats. He's a danger to the entire peace in the Middle East and perhaps beyond the Middle East. I think that perhaps the world now has a better understanding of what we've been talking about.
Caught in the middle, the civilian population of Kuwait, which the State Department's Richard Boucher says includes many Americans.
There are approximately 3,000 American citizens in Kuwait, of whom approximately 130 are official Americans and their dependents.
Some Americans are unaccounted for, and President Bush is seeking assurances from Iraq that they're all right. The invasion has presented Mr. Bush with his biggest crisis yet in the volatile Middle East, and he's weighing various responses.
We're not ruling any options in, but we're not ruling any options out.
Including military, although the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral William Crowe, says such a response would prove difficult.
It would require a considerable lift. It would require, of course, cooperation of the Arab countries and some access to ground bases, facilities, and airfields within the Gulf. And then it would require an intensive buildup. This would require time, effort, and be protracted.
Although the U.S. has told its allies in NATO that a military option was not out of the question if Iraq made a move against Saudi Arabia. At week's end, Iraqi troops had reportedly moved into a so-called neutral zone between Kuwait and neighboring Saudi Arabia. The invasion created turmoil in the world's financial markets, and a Middle East analyst with the Brookings Institution in Washington, Judith Kipper, says Iraq's boldness represents a significant change in world politics.
I think we've seen the end of the Cold War, and we've seen the beginning of a new era, the war of resources. In this case, I believe the first priority is cash.
Something Iraq needs to refill its treasury, which was depleted during its long war with Iran. Its acquisition of valuable oil fields in Kuwait puts Iraq in control of a substantial portion of OPEC's production. And the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Oklahoma's David Boren, says that does not bode well for the U.S.
Since 1985, we have dramatically gone up from using 31% of the oil that we use in this country every day coming from imports all the way up to 52%.
Although oil industry analyst Joseph Link says the U.S. is not in any immediate danger.
Our crude oil inventories in the United States currently are at their record high levels. You cannot buy crude oil storage anywhere in the United States right now.
But another analyst, Peter Butel, says that hasn't stopped prices from going up.
From June 20th, we've seen home heating oil prices increase 18 cents a gallon. And we've seen gasoline prices increase about 10 cents a gallon. So right away, we can say pretty much with authority that consumers will be paying an extra nickel to dime at the pump sometime between now and Labor Day.
For some motorists, such as this man, now is here.
10 cents a gallon overnight. It went up at the station where I get my gas.
That's the kind of increase Deputy Energy Secretary Henson Moore says he'll be monitoring.
We watch that very closely. We will here. We do watch that, and we will watch that to see what is happening in world prices, what's happening in domestic prices, and tracking that with supply to see what the effects are.
The managing director of the Cambridge Energy Research Group in Massachusetts, Joe Stanislaw, says we should learn from the past.
The current situation in the Middle East highlights the need to continue the efforts we started in the 70s and early 1980s to develop alternative energy supplies in general. And included in that alternative energy supplies is a term not normally used there, which is called conservation and efficiency.
As the week ended, Iraq was saying its troops were ready to leave Kuwait. As for what Saddam Hussein's plans for the future are, Kuwait's ambassador to Britain says his country is more than willing to talk to their neighbor.
Why not? We want to talk really to each other and solve our problems. We don't want to use forces, and we don't want to fight our brothers. And as we said, it is a loss for both of us. We should solve our problems by negotiation, not by arms.
It is Kuwait's hope, and the hope of the rest of the world, that Hussein is as willing.